you ever wanted to know the secrets to successfully juggling the demands of building a business and marriage and raising a family? If so, then this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm Monica Tanner, a wife, mama to four kids, and a relationship and intimacy expert. My mission is to ensure that passionate entrepreneurs like you never have to choose between your dedication to your family and your passion for your message. Having it all is absolutely possible. Welcome to On the Brighter Side, Marriage for Entrepreneurs. Let's dive in. Welcome back to On the Brighter Side, Marriage for Entrepreneurs. I am so excited about my interview today. I am sitting down with the Woodwards, Dave and Carrie Woodward. Let me tell you a little bit about them so that you can get so excited for this interview. Dave Woodward is the CEO of ClickFunnels and the high energy host of ClickFunnels Radio. With his easygoing conversational style and unquenchable curiosity, Dave has a true gift for making his guests feel right at home. It's no wonder he consistently brings the best out of every entrepreneur on his show with an uncanny knack for getting his guests to spill the beans. That means you'll likely get to experience never before revealed sales and marketing secrets from some of the savviest business owners and self-starters on the planet. Carrie has a super impressive resume of her own, selling a massively successful health and coaching program before moving to Boise, and now has co-founded an interior design coaching program called Sweet Valley Eve. Welcome, you guys. How are you doing?
So good.
Super excited.
Me too. So excited. Okay. Well, let's start by, that's the resume side. Let's start by having you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves and your family.
So we have four boys and we've been married 27 years.
That's awesome. As that's like month, a quarter of a century.
Yes. As of this month, we're like, how have we been married that long? Cause that's so crazy. And we have a grandbaby. Our oldest is married and yeah.
Super excited.
Super excited. I love the questions that you had asked us to think about. This is what we're living right now with the whole pivotal point of the entrepreneur life and the relationships that you have and the drive and all of the ups and downs and highs and lows that come with it. And then all of a sudden you see your kids doing it and it's like, okay, wait a second. And you have to step back and you go, wait a second. I don't know if I want you doing all that uncertainty.
Cause it's like, hard.
Yeah. Cause it's hard. It's so hard. And then they're stepping back and asking all this advice. And yet it's what they've seen their entire life. And of course they want to do that. And so it's really kind of a cool reflection as we look back at it of everything that we've been through and thinking, okay, now what advice would we give our kids? Cause now they're stepping into that place because that's where they want to go with it.
I'm so excited to have this conversation with you guys because I've met two of your boys. I know Parker and Chandler, and they are massively different personalities, like totally different kids, but both extremely entrepreneurial. And so I just want to kind of dive into this subject and like learn about your entrepreneurial journey together and then what you instilled in these boys and like how they're just taking it and running it. So let's just start with like Dave's entrepreneurial journey. Like tell us about all the like really cool things you've done and learned along the way.
So for me, I ended up starting, I guess, as an entrepreneur, as a kid, selling candy to my schoolmates and, you know, getting sent to the principal's office for selling candy on school type of a deal. But from there, it's kind of a weird situation. My parents, one was a nurse, one was an attorney, high education. And so that entrepreneurial thing was kind of squashed a little bit. You know, you go get your college degree. And so I was accepted to medical school, going to medical school and thought, you know what? I just don't want to do that. And so I took a step back. I got a master's in exercise science. And at the time thought, I don't know what I want to do here. I just met my wife at school, chasing her around the track and I've never been able to keep up with her.
Oh, I've chased her running too. I know how that feels.
She's impossible to keep up with. But at that point, I decided to go to get a master's in physical therapy. And so we were on our way, got married when I was actually in Texas. And we were down there, just started physical therapy school. And at the time, one of my college buddies, his dad owned a third of the physical therapy clinics in Kentucky. And I was really going after it more from a business standpoint. Mm-hmm. Love the profession, but it wasn't what I wasn't as excited to be a physical therapist as I was about owning the clinics. And having just gotten married about 6 months, I met my brother-in-law, her brother, and he was super successful in an employee benefits company and introduced me to this idea of maybe we should do this together. And so I dropped out of...
Which was a crazy thing. Like, I think that was our first big pivotal moment in our marriage. And I think that that's something as an entrepreneur that you continue to go through. That's how you evolve. True. That's how you grow. That's how you stretch. That's how you find, you know, your thing. And for us, it was that first experience that we had as a couple that we had to sit down and think about it. And we had to like pray about it, because that was something important to us as prayer. And we sat down and we're like, hey, should we do this? Should we like actually drop out of school and go? And he'd already had his master's. He was getting a second master's. And it was just like, but wait a second, we moved down to Texas. Do we want to drop everything to jump into this first opportunity to do a company? And we just felt like it was the craziest thing in the whole world, but it was the smartest thing to do. And that was our first big jump that we did, of many that we did throughout our career. So keep going with yours.
So that was 27 years ago. I ended up, we moved from Houston to Austin and started building there you go, Longhorns.
That's my alma mater. So
and so for us at that point, we had a real successful time while we were there. We ended up actually taking the company from Texas to Southern California, where we ended up raising all of our boys. We sold that company. After selling that company, at that point, was trying to figure out what exactly to do. The part I fell in love with was marketing. Mm-hmm. And so I had an opportunity with one of the people who had been involved in that other business to then get involved in a securities broker dealer. Again, it was a startup. So we did the startup right at the beginning of the crash of the .bomb.com crash. So we rode that wave up and rode it crashing down. And then afterwards decided, you know what? I think what I love most about the whole marketing thing is I want to go create my own marketing agency. And so I did that. And that was pre a lot of the internet type of stuff. So instead of being a digital marketing agency, it was a physical agency where we were doing a lot of direct mail and was doing a ton of ads and things. Huge advocate and follower of Dan Kennedy at the time. And literally just built a large agency doing primarily marketing for mortgage companies, insurance companies, health insurance, securities. And at that point decided, you know what, we're making so much money for these mortgage companies, we should just do mortgages ourselves. So we then started doing that and rode that wave up and then rode that wave crashing down. And again, this was part of that ride.
That's part of being an entrepreneur.
Because I think this is what entrepreneurs need to understand. It's not like overnight success. It's not like just like this all the time.
And I think that's so huge for people to know. And I think it's the side of the story that a lot of people don't talk about, is that it goes like this, and you have to be willing to continue to ride those waves to continue to figure out, you know, what it is, and not that what you want to do, because you find these great things. And then by doing those things, that's what continues to allow things to evolve into other things, where it just never, the ball never stops rolling, but you have to be willing to ride the ebb and flow of it as well.
So the next wave was realizing we'd created this fiasco of all these foreclosed homes. So we actually went out and bought a lot of homes and started flipping a lot of homes, and then started teaching people how to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I'd actually met Russell Brunson back in 2008 when I was trying to figure out the whole online marketing thing, and I went to a seminar where he was at. That's where I met him. And so we did a couple of things together, but fast forward to about 2014 was when ClickFunnels was getting started. We were still living in Southern California. We'd just come out of things, and things were going great, flipping a lot of houses, doing a lot of coaching, consulting. Money was doing great. And
he was traveling all over. All over the country, like
every week,
like it was crazy the amount of traveling that he was doing. And it was just I think that's the crazy thing, is like finding that pivotal point of that again, where it was like this thing was like going absolutely amazing. And then all of a sudden, you know, his good friend comes to him and he's like, let's do this thing together. Like, let's start this other company.
Another startup.
And I'm like, what? You know, like, we're going to do this again. And then, so we did, and we jumped in and did that. And the whole thing was like, okay, but they kept having this thing. Well, once it does like a certain, it makes like this, and then it does this. And then we keep hitting these milestones, and they kept doing this joke with each other. Well, then you got to move to Boise. And one day we were riding a ski lift up, and it was, Dave looks at me and he goes, what would you think about moving to Boise? I'm like, Boise, Idaho? You're going to move to Boise, Idaho?
We spent 20 years in the San Diego area. So
that's a beautiful place.
Yes. Yeah. So it was, but it was the best thing we ever did. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I love it so much. Getting your reactions to things, Carrie, is classic. I love it, because I love the interplay between you've got this entrepreneur, and then you've got the wife who's like, what? We're going to do what? Right? But you're an entrepreneur in your own right. Tell us about the company you built. Give us like a little bit of the history behind that.
Yeah. So I started, when I went to college, I actually started and I got my degree in interior design. And then as I got going with it, I realized, okay, wait, they're teaching me nothing about interior design. So maybe I'll just go into something else. So I went and I got my degree in exercise science, and I have just did everything in the fitness industry, from presenting to coaching to teaching to creating programs to, I worked with LA Fitness and I opened up a lot of their gyms, created their exercise programs for them, their group exercise, created a lot of the formats that they teach as well. And then I created an app where it was an exclusive club for women only, where they could come in and they could learn how to do exercise. They could learn how to do nutrition. And there was all kinds of recipes and drag and drops, and they could cook together and exercise together. And it was this community that we developed. The thing that I think is the most important thing to understand is that the reason that I pulled out of it, and I was in and out, I was always in it, but different hard pushes with it. And the reason that I share that part of it was because when you're doing this together as a couple, and this is something that we talk so much about with our kids, you know, as they think about like, okay, who should I look for in a spouse? You know, these are conversations that they have, you know, what should I look for? What are good things? What are qualities? What are things that, as you start to create your little list, you know, of what you're looking for. And the thing that is so important is that you have to come together in as a team when you decide on whatever career it's going to be. And this was the career that we chose. And it was a career that we decided that as we did it as a family. And there was going to be a lot of sacrifices that we had to come together in as a team in order to make that successful. And there was times when, unfortunately, and it's not because I was a female or he was a male, it was because this is how Dave and Carrie chose to do it, to make it successful for us. And I think that's this important thing, because sometimes people are like, no, I can't do it that way, or that's not right. This is how we did it, and this is how it worked for us. And there was times when I had to step back, because in order for us to be a team and in order for us to be able to be successful in this ride of this career that we chose, we both couldn't go hard at it. And that was a sacrifice that both of us had to make on both ends. You know, there was a sacrifice of, it's hard for me when I hear people like, oh, I'm just a stay-at-home mom, or I'm just that. No, that is hard job.
That's harder than going to work.
That's a hard job. And then also on the flip side of it, it's hard when he's on the road and travels all the time and he's missing out on those little things with the kids. And so it was kind of that balance that we had to create with each other, where we had to know when there was so much resistance in our marriage and our relationship because we were both going too hard in different directions and they weren't going in the same direction. So we had to step back and we had to say, okay. And that was one of those decisions that we made even of moving to Boise, that there was a lot of sacrifice that had to go in. We sat down with the kids. We sat down with them and we said, okay, guys, we're moving you in high school. Like, what parent does that, right? We're going to move you when you're in high school, and we want you to make that decision. And it was a decision that our kids came back and said, you know what? Like, and this was a place they lived their entire life. They knew no different. Our family was there, and we let them make that decision as a family of, guys, this is what it is. This is what we're doing. And we need to be all in together, because it's a sacrifice for everybody and it's a team. And in order to make those things happen, looking back, 6 years of when we first decided to make that first pivotal moment, and then a couple years later to actually move here, we look back on it and wow, what a blessing it was for our family. Not just the financial side of it, but just the closeness that we have together as a family with what we went together through it, because we worked together as a team.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this is so much gold, so much gold. Like, stop listening right now. Go get a pen and paper, because this is so good. Okay, so like, I want to dive into this team concept of entrepreneurship, because I think entrepreneurship is kind of blowing up now. People are getting furloughed, people are getting laid off, like people are trying to start businesses now. Like, that's kind of what's happening, is people are starting businesses from home. And now mom and dad are working from home and kids are schooling from home, and you've got all of this togetherness. And I imagine, well, I don't imagine, I'm living it. You're starting a business or growing a business or scaling a business or pivoting a business or whatever you're doing. And you need the buy-in from the rest of the people in the household. Like, there's a lot of give and take. There's a lot of friction. There's a lot of resistance. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. So I want to talk about how you created this kind of team mentality in your family. Like, here's what we're doing. We're doing it as a family. We need everybody's kind of buy-in.
Well, for me, I've always felt that there's no success that can compensate for failure in the home. Mm-hmm. David McKay said that years ago. And it's really hard when you start having a lot of success, because I remember, especially when you...
It's addicting,
mm-hmm. especially when you've had failures before. And you're like, man, now I'm going to really show them I can actually make this thing work. Mm-hmm. And it becomes very addicting, to the point where you're like, I'm going to go out and I'll just work harder and I'll work longer and I'll provide more. And what they really want is they want a nicer house, nicer cars, nicer toys. And I think the part that's always been grounding for me has been Carrie. And just because she's been able to say, you know what matters most? So her love language is quality time. Okay. Nothing matters more than quality time to her. And so because of that, that quality time has been the glue that's held our family together through all this, because she's realized we literally would strip the kids away from friends and everything else and head to the mountains or head to the beach or just even for a night, just so that everyone understood what matters most was our family together. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things I learned from her. Her family's super, super close. My family isn't as close as hers is. And I've seen the impact that's had on multiple generations now because of that. And I wanted that more than I wanted the success. Money comes and money goes. I've had it, I've lost it, had it, lost it.
Yeah.
But the one thing that matters the most is that family and that unity. And so for me, her quality time and her focus on that is what really, that's the glue in our family.
Yeah. Because you can make all the money in the world and you have no relationship at the end of it. Yeah. And so it's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. And I think that's, you know, I grew up with, my dad was very successful in what he did. He was vice president of AT&T. That's crazy, right? I never even understood really what that was. We spent our weekends in the mountains doing like hiking and tent camping and doing all these things. And so when Dave and I, with our kids, that's stuff that we always did. We just took them away and we would do these trips in the mountains and just spend time together. And it wasn't about the stuff and doing all this elaborate things. It was just time. And I think for me, the thing that's like, we get emotional. The thing that's really special to me is like, as they've gotten older, is seeing like how they like rally around each other and how they're like so incredibly close. And even it was really cute. My daughter-in-law, she was dating, or my second one was dating somebody. And she's like, hey, just so you know, like if you come into this family, these boys are really close. and it's not because of stuff we gave them or anything like that. We went through some really crappy times and we also went through some really amazing times and we celebrated all of that with the kids. We let them experience every little bit of it. And I think like if you teach your kids to reward them on that stuff, the things and that, then they're never gonna see that value in the relationship and the value in the time of what that really means to be able to be an entrepreneur. Gives you that time freedom. It's the entrepreneur. If you're focusing on trying to fill your bank account, then you're going to spend your life trying to fill your bank account with a number versus trying to provide a life for your family that allows you to be able to spend quality time together, that has those relationships. Because I think, you know, in our ripe age of being married 27 years, like you tend to learn, like you've been around the block a few times to learn that there's a lot of crappy things that go on in your life. And there's a lot of beautiful things that go on in your life. And that's what makes marriage and life so great, is that when you hang on and learn that, because there's no such thing as a 50-50. There is no such thing. And I think that's why people get in trouble with their marriages, is that there's times when I'm carrying it and there's times when he's carrying it. And that's what makes it beautiful at the end of it, when all of a sudden you're standing there together and you're like, wow, oh my gosh, you literally fall to the ground in gratitude of, wow, like this is such a beautiful thing that we just work through together. And when you start seeing your kids do that, because they're starting to deal with these real life experiences in life and they're having to lean on each other for that, that's when it becomes worth it of all of that. So you're welcome, all of the tears.
Oh my gosh, you're making me emotional. But I love this because I talk about this too, and talk a little bit more about how you share those wins and those losses with your kids in order to teach them, like, and show them that it's not just, you're just like, I'm going to build a business and then it happens, right? Like there's all those ups and downs. How do you bring your kids with you through all of that and teach them how to be resilient and how to all of that?
Yeah. Will you answer that? I feel like I'm doing all the talking.
I think actually for us, one of the things that helped at least instill a lot of that was athletics. Athletics has been an important part in both of our lives. And because of that, athletics was something we wanted our kids to participate in. And so we started them at a very young age. And I think the great thing about athletics being team sports, it's really what the majority of our kids were involved in, with soccer and basketball and football, and then some individual sports as far as track and cross country. I think what you learn is the importance of hard work. Mm-hmm. And to realize that, you know what, you don't always get to start. You don't always get to win. You don't always get to have that easy. And for me, that was the most important thing when we were raising our kids, was they didn't have a choice if they were going to play or not. It was just what sport they wanted to play. Yeah. Just because I believe that you learn so much through that. And I think it's important to play both individual sports as well as team sports, because that way you can rely on both. And so we instilled athletics. And I mean, to this day, athletics is still a major part in all four. And I guess it's somewhat nice. They're all close in age and they still try to push each other around and muscle and put holes in the wall.
Who's got it?
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But for me, I think that's where it starts. And then because of that, once you start to experience the wins and losses in, mm-hmm. in athletics, to me, athletics and life, especially as an entrepreneur, are identical. I think I look at a lot of very successful entrepreneurs. You'll find many of them are athletics or athletes who have been through it. Or they may have not done athletics. They may have done something else, whether it was drama or something where they had to compete. They had a goal set. Yeah. It's all about goals and, mm-hmm. and setting those types of goals. We just happen to choose athletics.
Yeah.
For me, though, I think as you start to get down that entrepreneurial journey, as you're setting goals and sometimes you don't hit those goals, and then you have to go back to your family and say, I know we plan on going to Hawaii, but... we actually had this financial setback and that's not going to happen, kids. So
now we can't, yeah.
We're not doing that. We're going to do this instead. And that's a tough conversation to have,
but a cool one.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, I've been fortunate. She's been super, super supportive through all that kind of stuff. And I think our kids have understood that. Also, I mean, we try to celebrate the wins too. And I think that was a big part mm-hmm. of it. Celebrate the wins.
And I think too, you know, with that, when you can't do the one vacation over the other, it's, I don't know. I think as a parent, it's like, hey, we're going to go do this. Like, this is exciting. And then the kids start to learn that, like for us, we ask them, okay, hey, where do you guys want to go? We're going to go anywhere you want to this summer. And they're like, okay, anywhere we want to go? Yeah. Okay. Let's go get a cabin and stay for a week somewhere. That was their idea of this. They just wanted to be together and go ahead and have fun. And we're thinking, no, wait, you can go anywhere you want to. But because they had learned this whole thing about what fun is and what it means to have fun, is they just wanted to go to a place where they could go have an experience and have a journey. And I'm not saying spending money is a bad thing. That's a great thing too. But I'm just saying that I think that people sometimes get their things twisted of what success means and what your wins are. And I think the other thing too that's important is of sharing with them, because obviously there's some things as adults, like you don't need to share everything with your kids, all the highs and lows. I think that they need to see you as parents. Like something that was always important for us is we always tried to get away. Even when our kids were little, we would do sometimes it wasn't even 24 hours. And we would go and we would just act like newlyweds for a minute. You know what I mean? And just have that just amazing connection with each other. And that 24 hours, even if you feel like, okay, I don't have anyone who can watch my kids, or maybe you feel like you can't afford it, if that's your excuse, you swap with a friend and you give each other weekends where you can go and just get away and you go find a place. It doesn't have to be far. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It's amazing how magical 24 hours can be, even if you're only an hour away from home, how important that is. And then let the kids see just the connection that you have when you come back and how important that is. And I think just the connection that your kids need to see you having of just touching each other and sitting close to each other and holding hands and being intimate in that way as well. And then I think it's important for you to have that connection as a family where you go away for that 24 hours and just have a recharge where you pull them away from their lives and you get pulled away from your life and you have that reconnection. And those are those little things that go, okay, we can go let mom and dad or dad or mom, whoever it is, go back into the arena and do all the work, because it's like that, it feels like that reward for that moment.
This is so good. I have so many questions, but the one that's like hitting me right now is because I have a teenage boy. Like, did they ever not want to go on these like little family getaways? Because my teenager's like, duh, I'm not going to get to see my friends for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Like, it's awful. Like, did that ever happen?
Oh yeah. 100%. 100% that happens.
Like,
yeah.
No, dude, you're going, you're going to be with us as a family.
Yeah. And the worst thing ever is the hardest thing, I think, on top of that is not only the friends, but it is when they get the girlfriend,
right.
You know, or the boyfriend, and, you know, they think that that's the thing. And, you know, you're looking at them going, okay, in like a couple months, it's probably not going to be a thing. But for them, it's like, you know, it is the thing. So you have to be sensitive to them. And so I think the worst thing that you can ever do is tell them that they can't be with their friends or you're taking them away from their friends. It's like, oh yeah, but we're going to be back on Friday. So you can hang out. What do you want to do with them on Friday?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, okay. So if they ever feel like they're being taken away from their friends, you want them to feel like they're in charge. I think that's the biggest thing. Make them feel like they're completely in charge of it. And yet you're 100% in charge of them making their decisions, but they felt like they made it and it creates less resistance on it.
I love it so much. You guys, this is so great. This is so great. What do you guys hope your kids will remember about growing up in your household?
Traditions is one. I think a feeling of like,
you're making me emotional too.
I think because like, we're, of course we're living that right now, right? Because our kids are starting to leave home and we think, okay, what is it that we can do to make them want to come back, right? For me, we have boys, right? So my entire life, people are always like, oh, you have boys. You know they're going to someday all leave, right? And so Dave and I are like, oh, heck no, they're not going to leave. Like, I have all brothers, and yet my brothers all hang out. Like, we spend so much time together as a family. It's insane. And so I started to, Dave and I think you do this as parents. You think, okay, what did I do growing up that I liked or that I feel like will work in our family? And that's what my parents did. Like, we spent so much time doing these adventures together. And it was just time. That's all it was. It was time. We didn't go with fancy. We weren't flying all over the place. I mean, my parents would pack us up in the car and we'd go on road trips because that's when you could talk. And so that's what we do with our kids. And it's kind of interesting because our oldest, he's moved to Boise. Him and his wife are here. And we got so incredibly lucky with our first daughter-in-law. She's amazing. And she's all about family and building those relationships. And how lucky are we? And I think that my hope would be that our kids, they want to be with their siblings and they want to be with mom and dad because they have this feeling that we're there. They feel like that their family is their friends. Because friends come and go, as I think everybody knows. My mom would always say that. Your friends come and go, but your family is always there. And yes, there are certain friends that are dear, so dear to you, that will always be your dear, dear friends that are more like family. There are those special ones. But the most special group is those that reside within your home. And when they leave, I think the most important thing I remember our kids saying to us is when we moved from California to Boise, our second one, Parker, came home a couple weeks ago. And he walked in the door and he had his packs stuff on and he goes, it's just a great feeling about being home. Aww. And I was like, oh. It was like, in the back, I'm going like this, you know, I'm like, yes. And it is like the ultimate thing that as a parent, you hope that no matter where you go, it doesn't matter what the house looks like or where it is. It's the people that are inside that makes it feel like home. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be my goal.
What about you, Dave? What do you want your kids to take away from being raised in your family?
I would agree with Carrie on the whole idea as far as
family. If you could cry right now, that would really be good. Make me feel better.
I think the other part to that is home is safe. That no matter what happens, home is always a place of refuge. And I think that's the main thing, especially when life's crazy. I would always want to make sure my kids always felt there's nothing they could say, nothing they could do. No matter the ups or the downs of their life, they can always come home and home is always safe. Mm-hmm. And that it should always just be a place of refuge for them. So for me, that's the main thing I would hope that my kids, home is fun, it's safe, and it's a refuge.
I love that. So good. Okay. What is one piece of advice you could give to my audience that they can implement immediately that will strengthen their marriage and push the needle forward in their business?
Oh my gosh. Do you want me to answer first?
Sure.
Okay. Mine would be definitely the one that I said about making sure that you step away and recheck, that recharges. With any athlete, any type of training that you do, as you set your goal towards a thing, you train really hard and then you take a recovery. In order to get stronger, you have to have that recovery. And then you train hard again and you take the recovery. And that allows you to keep getting stronger and faster. And it's the same thing with entrepreneurship. You have to take step backs and recharge, reevaluate your goals, make sure the things are working. Don't get so focused on the thing that's in front of you and not realize that that thing that you felt prompted and called to do is only a thing to take you to the next thing. So don't get set on one little thing, feeling like this is my bread and butter, because that thing that you feel like is that thing at the moment is going to be the thing that allows you to open the door to the next thing. But I think that would be my biggest advice, is to make sure you always step back and reevaluate and recharge. Yeah.
I know these days everyone talks a lot about date nights, which I think are awesome. For me, I think each quarter we always did, I tried to always make sure on a quarterly basis we went away. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of tying into what Carrie was just referring to. For me, a date night is too quick. Yeah. It's only a couple hours. I need more of her time.
Yeah. Because that's when things unravel.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for me, each quarter we would literally can literally be in the same town you're in.
Yeah.
Or for sometimes get the kids out and just have a staycation where they're not allowed back.
Yeah.
I think on a quarterly basis, you literally need at least 18 to 24 hours where it's just the two of you away from everything else.
Yeah.
And for me, that's probably one of the biggest things I would say. It allows you to break down all the walls, allows you to kind of reconnect and really talk about where's this thing going. Mm-hmm. Date nights are hard for me because they're so quick at times.
Yeah.
But a quarterly getaway, I've always ran my life in quarters, back to the days of employee benefits and everything else. Everything was done on a quarterly basis. And so I still think that way.
And I think too, you know, I think we always joke about that because there would be times when we'd go away and we were like, you know, you just feel like this contention with you and you're, by the time you get back from your just 24-hour getaway, you're like, oh. You know, and it's so, and then there's times when we were so excited to go away together. And that's why they're so important, because sometimes there's just so much resistance that's built up because you've been pushing so hard and you're just tired, you're fatigued, and you need to step back and have that rest day and do it with each other. And that recharges you just miraculously. And I think that that's the thing, is don't hold yourself up to this accountability of feeling like it needs to be this crazy fancy thing. It's so simple. And when you make those things simple, then they're things that you look forward to. And it's just become such a mandatory thing that we've always done. And our kids know we do it. They encourage it. And now it's really cute to see, as you know, we've got one married now, that we say, you know, okay, you got a babysitter. Like,
yeah.
Go away. Go do something, just the two of you, so that you can just have that moment together.
Oh my gosh. I could literally keep you guys here for hours and hours and hours. This is so good and so valuable, but I want to respect your time and the listeners. So tell them where you can find you, Dave, and you, Carrie, like the cool things that you're doing. Tell them where they can find out more.
For me, it's Instagram and Facebook. Those are the two places I'm at. Again, you made mention in the beginning as far as a podcast for ClickFunnels Radio. As far as what's kind of going on, Instagram and Facebook are the two places for me.
Awesome.
Yeah. And for me, Instagram is a great place to find me. I'm on Sweet Valley Ave, AVE. We started, a friend of mine and I started an interior design coaching program, which has been super fun and amazing and perfect timing for me. I've got one left at home. So crazy. So it's really been fun for me to jump into that creative space and to do that. So yeah, thank you, Monica, for having us on here today. This has been so much fun.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I need to be charging a lot of money for this interview. Like, this is too good to be free.
The tears are extra. The tears are extra.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
I love those guys, and I loved that interview. Seriously, so much wisdom and so many value bombs dropped in that episode. That episode is also one of my favorite examples of why I created the vault, because seeing that interview has a completely different feel than hearing it. There is so much expression and so many nonverbals that you miss in just the audio episode. So if you want access to the full uncut video version of that episode, you're definitely going to want to check out the vault. And right now I'm running a special where you get a free 7-day trial of the vault, and you get my free 7 tips to get more support from your spouse when you sign up for any Vault membership. And I'll tell you a little secret. Even if you just do the free 7-day trial, you're still going to get that free workbook, which is so valuable, especially after listening to this episode and how important creating that relationship, that sense of teamwork with your spouse and in your family actually is. So if you want to check out the vault, head over to www.onthebrightersideofmarriage.com/the vault and check it out. Next week, I'm going to be going over those 7 tips for getting more support from your spouse, but you're definitely going to want to check out that workbook. So make sure you all tune in next week, and I will see you then. If you had as much fun as we did just now, please be sure to go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review, which helps others to find the show. You can also share your favorite episodes on social media. And if you want more, head over to onthebrightersideofmarriage.com and download a copy of my 5 things I do every day to keep my marriage sizzling hot. And until next time, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.